You're listening to a WebYeshiva.org podcast. Visit www.webyeshiva.org to take part in our fully interactive online yeshiva. Visit blog.webyeshiva.org for more free downloadable Torah content.
Hello, this is Ilana Goldstein-Sachs of Web Yeshiva with this week's Tehillim podcast. This week I'd like to take a look at Mizmor Nun Gimel. And while we will take a bit of time to learn the content of the Mizmor, I am most interested today in using this Mizmor as a springboard to discuss a number of different interesting features of the Mizmor. So that we will not be speaking in the air, I would, however, still like to start by reading through the Mizmor. Lamnatzeach al machalat maskil l'David. The title, as is often the case in Tehillim, is somewhat enigmatic, since few claim to really know what the references in the titles mean. Machalat is probably the musical instrument which accompanied the singing of the Mizmor, right? Although Midrashic interpretations have been offered, see, for example, Rashi's second opinion in his commentary on that pasuk. Maskil is likely the type of Mizmor, although, again, other interpretations have been offered, including the possibility that somehow the word Maskil is connected to pasuk Gimel, where the word Maskil appears. Le David, the Mizmor was written by David, about David, both. Again, it's a question, and David's exact connection to this Mizmor, although debated, we'll discuss it somewhat later on. Pasuk Bet. Here we are introduced to the word Naval, to the Naval, the subject of this Mizmor. Amar Naval b'libo en Elohim, hishchitu v'hit'ivu avel en osetov. Right, the word naval is a little hard to translate, but it implies a churlish, disgraceful individual. There are different opinions in the commentaries as to who naval here refers to. Again, we will discuss these in greater depth later. For now, we're going to take the general approach that we are talking about any old naval, right? A type of person and not a specific person. The Mishorer describes the naval as one who denies the existence of God, right? Amar ein Elokim. Or, as some suggest, denies God's presence, that he denies that God is in control of reward and punishment, for example. Then, in the continuation of the Pasuk, when talking, he continues talking about mankind or of Nivalim, right? These type of person in the plural, he says that they are corrupt, they are loathsome, and that nobody does good, no one does good. Going on, Pasuk Gimel. Elohim mishamayim hishkif al bnei adam, lirot hayesh maskil doresh et Elohim. So contrary to the belief of the Naval, she'ein Elohim, in Pasuk Gimel, God, ever present, looks down from the heavens. Right, it's an ironic parallel to the Pasuk before. God looks down from the heavens to see if there's anybody, basically, who's looking upward, looking to seek out God. If anyone is a maskil, right, someone who's full of understanding and intelligence, who seeks out God. But instead of finding somebody who's seeking out God, he instead finds that everyone down there is sag, right? Sag is like dross, that which is mixed in with purer things, right? Like the lesser metals that are mixed in with gold or with silver. Right, that is the sag, kulo sag. No one does any good, right? A repeat of that idea which we saw before. Halo yadu poale aven, ochle ami, achlu lechem, Elohim lo karu. Right, these evildoers devour my people like bread, and they do not invoke God. Pasuk Vav, Sham Pachadu Pachad, Lo Haya Pachad, Ki Elohim Pizer Atzmot, excuse me, Honach, Havishota Ki Elohim Asam. Right? They fear a fear. They're seized with fright, but there is no real reason to be afraid. Right? God will scatter their bones. Right? God has rejected them. Eventually, Hashem will punish these individuals. The last pasuk is a prayer for redemption. presumably from the Naval. Mi yiten mitzion yeshuot Yisrael b'shuv Elohim shivut amo yagel Yaakov yismach Yisrael. Right? a prayer that redemption will come from God. That when Hashem redeems His people, right, that Yaakov, Yisrael, will rejoice. As usual with Mizmorim such as this, right, which seems to be talking about a general type of thing, the Mefarshim try to understand better what exactly is being spoken of here. Before we review the various possibilities, it's important to note another interesting fact about this Mizmor, which is that it has a twin. Take a look at Mizmor Yud Dalid, and you will find that it is almost identical, with some small differences, to Mizmor Nun Gimel. Now, this fact requires some sort of explanation of our understanding, right? Why would one book, right, Sefer Tehillim, have two almost identical Mizmorim? There are other Mizmorim in Tehillim where there are parts of the Mizmor which are the same as other Mizmorim, but Nun Gimel and Yud Dalid are the only examples of two entire Mizmorim which are basically the same. And now some see an answer to this question in the structure of the book of Tehillim. Right? Tehillim, as you may know, is actually broken up into five sections. Yud Dalid, right, the twin of our Mizmor Nun Gimel, is in the first section, and Nun Gimel is in the second section. According to some, each section of Tehillim, right, each collection of Tehillim, of the five collections, was once a separate collection, and they were eventually put together in one book, right, the Book of Tehillim as we know it. Therefore, right, in our case, right, Mizmor Yud Dalid and Mizmor Nun Gimel, the two twin Mizmorim, this Mizmor appeared once in section one and once in section two, right, once in collection one and once in collection two. And that when all of the collections of the five sections of Sefer Tehillim were then put together, joined together into one book, right, all of the Mizmorim that were found in each of the selections, in each of the sections, rather, were kept. And that's why we have basically two Mizmorim saying the same thing, right? That if you use a general approach to the word Naval that we have up until now, that it's talking about a type of person, right? And so it's possible that each of these Mizmorim was talking about this general type of person, that's really the same Mizmor. And it appeared twice because it was once part of collection number one and collection number two, and then it came together and it happened to appear twice in the same book. Another approach is to interpret the two Mizmorim as referring to different things. But that even though they're so similar, they're really meant to be referring to two different things. And therefore, the Mizmor appears twice in the Book of Tehillim. So, for example, Rashi and Mitzudat David both suggest that Mizmor Yud Dalid is talking about Nebuchadnezzar, right, Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king who destroyed the first Beit HaMikdash. He is the Naval of Mizmor Yud Dalid. And in Mizmor Nun Gimel, the Naval is Titus, the general, the Roman general who destroyed the second Beit HaMikdash. Right, so what are these two Mizmorim? You have two Mizmorim that are basically the same because they're essentially talking about the same thing, right, about a Naval, right, a bad guy who destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. It appears twice because the specific subject in each case is different. Okay, that's a second approach to this question of the twin Mizmorim. There are other commentaries who suggest other possibilities how to understand Naval, right? That there are other enemies of Am Yisrael, both from within and from without. Right? There are different possibilities. I'm not going to list all of them right now. Another interesting approach is suggested by Rav Yaakov Medan, right, who sees Naval, right, who sees the word Naval, not as an adjective, right, not as a type of person, but as a proper noun, right, that it's referring to a person named Naval, right, and he believes it's talking about Naval HaKarmeli, a person who is mentioned in the book of Shmuel Aleph. A quick review of the story, right, David HaMelech has been anointed king by Shmuel, the prophet, while it's still the reign of Shaul HaMelech, and Shaul, of course, is displeased with this, and David is forced to flee from Shaul, who wants to kill him. And David wanders from place to place until, after Shaul's death, he is able to take the throne. Now, during his wanderings, a lot of different things happen to him. And one of the things that happens is that he encounters Naval HaKarmeli, who is also from the tribe of Yehuda, right, the same tribe as David. Right, Carmel, the place where he lives, is part of Shevet Yehuda in the area of Hebron. And David asks Naval, his tribesman, to help him out, right? Because even though we know David is an important person, right, he's already been anointed king, he actually is the son-in-law of the current king, but at the moment he's a refugee, he's a fugitive, he's running away, he's running for his life, and he has this band of men with him, and he doesn't really have much to give them. So he is asking Naval, who is from his tribe, to help him out. Naval rejects this request, quite possibly for, quote, political reasons, right? He might not accept David's claim to the throne. A long, interesting theory, which we don't have time to go into right now. Whereupon David swears to kill Naval and anyone who is with him, everyone who is with him. Abigail, who is Naval's wife, comes to David with gifts, basically that which Naval did not want to give David. And she convinces David that bloodshed really is not in his best interest right now. He is convinced, and Naval dies anyway by God's hand, and Abigail marries David. A very long, complicated, interesting story, which we don't have time to analyze fully here, but for the purposes of our mizmor, suffice it to say that the Naval, right, capital N, proper noun, Naval, comes across as, you know, well, a Naval, right? Kishmo Kenhu, right? He is like his name, that famous phrase, comes from this story, right? He is a Naval in the negative sense. An aside question, why a mother would name her son Naval, but it probably has to do with the fact that Naval might have a different meaning. But anyway, Rav Meidan shows in his article on this story that the content of Mizmor Nun Gimel, and not just the fact that the word Naval appears in the first line, fits the story of Naval David in Sefer Shmuel. And so he believes that Mizmor Nun Gimel is actually talking about this Naval HaKarmeli. As proof of his theory, in addition to, you know, showing how the content actually might be talking about Naval as described in the Book of Shmuel, he also points to a few other interesting things. The first one is that Mizmor Nun Gimel appears in a section of the Book of Tehillim where we find the historical, quote, Mizmorim of Sefer Tehillim. By historical, there are actually other types of historical Mizmorim, but in this context I'm referring to the Mizmorim which talk about events that occurred during the life of David HaMelech. Other examples, for example, are Mizmor Nunbet, the Mizmor that's just prior to our Mizmor. Lamenetzech maskil David bevo doeg ha'adomi v'yaged l'Shaul v'yomer lo ba David al beit Achimelech. This refers to when David, when running away from Shaul, hides out in the Mishkan and has a run-in with doeg ha'adomi. Another example is Perek Nun Aleph. Mizmor Lametech Mizmor David Bevo Elav Natan Navi Kasher Ba El Batsheva. Right, it's referring to an event that occurred with Natan the prophet and David's wife Batsheva. And there are other examples of this, including Mizmor Nun Dalid, which also refers to an historical event in the life of David. So we see that Nun Gimel is really surrounded by many different of these Mizmorim about the life of David HaMelech. So while Mizmor Nun Gimel does not refer explicitly to an event in David's life in the same way, in other words, it doesn't clearly spell out that the Naval in Mizmor Nun Gimel is Naval HaKarmeli, and this Mizmor is about the time when David encountered Naval, Rav Meidan says that the context in which the Mizmor is found suggests strongly that it is another one of these examples of a Mizmor talking about something in the life of David HaMelech. Another interesting proof that Rav Meidan brings is that if you look at the Midrashim from Midrash Tehillim on Perek Nun Gimel, right, Midrash Tehillim is the Midrash which goes Perek by Perek and interprets Midrashically all of the different Prakim of Sefer Tehillim. The Midrashim in Midrash Tehillim and Nun Gimel are all about Naval HaKarmeli and David and Avigail, right? So in other words, those Midrashim interpret Mizmor Nun Gimel as talking about that story in Sefer Shmuel. What's interesting is that the Midrashim on Perek Yud Dalet, right, the twin Midrash, the Midrash does not interpret that Mizmor, despite the fact that it is so similar, as being about the story of Naval HaKarmeli. Rav Meidan says that this quite possibly could be because Mizmor Yud Dalet is not found in the context of the other Mizmorim about the life of David HaMelech, whereas Nun Gimel is, and therefore the Midrash also sees Mizmor Yud Dalet as talking about a Naval in the general sense, right, as an adjective, whereas Mizmor Nun Gimel is talking about Naval in the specific sense, referring to the specific individual named Naval. He also points out, right, a related proof, that if you look at the Targum, the Aramaic translation of these Mizmorim, in Mizmor Yud Dalet, Naval is translated as an adjective, whereas in Mizmor Nun Gimel, it's translated as the name of an individual. So we see that there are many different ways of understanding this Mizmor, who Naval was. Is it a type of person? Is it a specific person? Is it who was a Naval? Or is it a person whose name actually was Naval? And we've seen many examples, right, during the podcasts that we've studied, or the Mizmorim, which we've studied in these podcasts together, that Mizmorei Tehillim often take on a life of their own. They have many uses over time, or Mizmor might be written for one purpose, for one context, for one event, be adopted by Chazal, for example, for another context, and then borrowed later on in history because of the appropriateness of its content for yet another context, right? We do this all the time up until this very day, and we've noted this numerous occasions when we've studied various Prakim together. It is interesting to think that maybe what we have here is an example of a Mizmor, excuse me, which was already understood in two different ways even before the Book of Tehillim took its final form. So a very, very old example of one Mizmor being used, understood in two different ways. In all cases, we see that through the different Mifrashim, that certainly this Mizmor, like many other Mizmorim, has been understood by different people, by different commentaries in different contexts, as being referring to different things. Shabbat shalom, u'mivorach.